Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into fake law by the secret barrister. Sophie, I have to ask, after reading this one, do you ever watch a courtroom drama the same way again?
Hi there, Sam. It's good to be here. Honestly, no. Fake law is a behind-the-scenes tour of the British justice system, and it completely shatters the idea that justice just happens.
Right? We all grow up believing that if you're innocent, you've got nothing to fear. But the secret barrister says that's dangerously naive.
Exactly. The real system is in crisis. Courts are closing, legal aid has been slashed, and the case backlog is so massive that justice is being delayed to the point of being denied.
That's terrifying. And the plea bargaining part really got me. You'd think trials are about truth, but defendants are pressured to plead guilty even when they're innocent.
Because the alternative is terrifying. If you're offered a reduced sentence for pleading guilty, but you face a much harsher punishment if you insist on a trial and lose, the rational choice is often to confess to something you didn't do.
So that's not justice, that's just efficiency. The system is designed to process cases quickly, not to find out what actually happened.
It gets worse as he walks through every stage. Police investigations are sloppy, prosecutors are overwhelmed, and defense lawyers are so poorly paid that many are quitting.
So you end up with inexperienced advocates who can't give cases the attention they deserve, and judges who bring their own biases to the bench.
The chapter on miscarriages of justice is heartbreaking. Innocent people are convicted all the time, and there's almost no mechanism for fixing mistakes.
The Court of Appeal rarely overturns convictions, and the Criminal Cases Review Commission is underfunded and slow. People spend years in prison for crimes they didn't commit.
It's not a rare anomaly. It's a systemic failure.
Yeah, it's systemic. Then he goes after Parliament for passing sloppy legislation. Judges have to interpret vague laws, and they end up stretching them to get a just result.
But that undermines the rule of law. If the law can mean whatever a judge wants it to mean, we're living under arbitrary discretion, not predictable rules.
The sexual offenses section is controversial. He admits there's a real problem with how victims are treated, but he argues the law has expanded so broadly that it criminalizes behavior a lot of people wouldn't see as seriously wrong.
And the presumption of innocence gets eroded. He's careful not to minimize suffering, but he insists that a system which convicts innocent people is not just, no matter how many guilty people it punishes.
Underneath everything, it's about resources. The system isn't failing because of bad people, it's being starved of funding.
Legal aid cuts, court closures, cuts to probation and prison services. He argues it's a deliberate political choice, prioritizing tax cuts over justice.
And that punishes the poor while the wealthy and powerful escape accountability.
He also takes aim at the media. Sensationalist reporting creates moral panics, and politicians rush to look tough by passing terrible laws.
Of course. Like joint enterprise, it was expanded because of fear about gang violence, and hundreds of young people were convicted of murder even though they didn't kill anyone or intend anyone to die.
The media celebrated those convictions, but innocent people were sent to prison for decades.
What I loved is how he humanizes everyone. Defendants aren't monsters, victims aren't perfect, and lawyers are just trying their best in an impossible situation.
He reminds us that everyone in court has a story, a history, a future. It's easy to forget that when you reduce people to headlines and statistics.
And he takes on our addiction to harsh sentences. Prison doesn't rehabilitate or deter, and it often makes offenders more dangerous.
He's not saying no one should ever go to prison, but we should use it sparingly and invest in things that actually work, like restorative justice and rehabilitation.
Right. But those alternatives need resources, and resources keep getting cut.
The book ends with a call to action. He wants us to pay attention, to question the narratives, and to demand better.
And he says the cost of doing nothing is far higher. A society that can't deliver justice is falling apart.
The writing is angry and sad, and sometimes darkly funny. It's not preachy at all, which makes it even more powerful.
He clearly loves the law and believes in its potential, so the critique is devastating. He's not trying to tear it down, he's trying to save it.
There's a passage about walking into a courtroom, the smell of old wood and paper, the robes, the hush. But then you see the leaking roof and the broken chairs.
The grandeur is still there, but it's crumbling, and we're letting it crumble.
Still, he ends with hope. There are good judges, lawyers who fight for their clients, and activists pushing for change.
He calls on readers to join that fight, to educate ourselves, and to speak out when we see injustice.
That's the thing. The law belongs to all of us, and we have a responsibility to protect it.
For me, the one takeaway is that the law isn't a machine that automatically produces justice. It's a system built on people and resources, and when we starve it, it fails the most vulnerable.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper into this, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, and it starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. Justice isn't something that happens to us. It's something we have to build and protect. We'll see you in the next one.